It was the dawn of the third age of podcasting, 12 years after the B5 premiere. The Babylon podcast was a dream given form, its goal to discuss Babylon 5 episodes, arcs, and implications, to interview the cast and crew about their experiences and memories. It's a home away from home for fanboys, geek girls, and lurkers. It can be a silly place, but it's our last best hope for B5 fans. This is the podcast about the story of the last of the Babylon stations. The year is 2006. The name of this show is the Babylon Podcast.
Welcome back to another Babylon Podcast. I am Summer Brooks.
I'm still Tim Callender.
Ho, 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 ho. Happy Koshnika. That's for our Jewish listeners, because they know the real meaning of Koshner food. Kosher food.
Oh.
I'm just, you know. Tis the season I can get away with all these jokes. You won't have to hear them again until next December, so just bear with me, indulge me. Let me get it out of my system.
Okay. We have a in-studio guest, good friend Brian.
Hello.
No way.
Yes.
Way.
Wow. Hi, Brian.
Babylon Podcast, filmed before a live studio audience.
Right.
Yes, dance. Amuse me.
Do you guys have a little applause sign in there?
No, but you know, I bet you we could find one on eBay.
I was looking for one.
Really?
Of course, I got applause. So.
So, Brian, I have an important question for you there as our witness and third party. Did Mike actually push the record button for any of this?
Yes, he did, as a matter of fact.
Great. Okay, and moving on. Meanwhile, back at the show.
all the people in the feed know exactly what we're talking about. Mm-hmm.
Guess what I saw this past Sunday.
Pray, tell us what you saw.
Or
this
rather,
past...
should I say, guess what I didn't see?
Snow.
I happen to be flipping around, and I come on the History Channel, and it opens up with this gentleman in a laboratory making snowflakes on little metal things and substrates, and I start thinking, hey, gee, I wonder. And then it cuts to Storm Peak Laboratory in Colorado. And all of a sudden I realize it looks really cold, but there's no snow there. And then I think, I know what this is. And I kept watching, and we go to Buffalo, New York, and I go, I know exactly what this is. And I think any general viewer probably wouldn't notice, but having had the inside scoop here on the Babylon Podcast, I just started giggling. I started giggling because I was thinking about Jeffrey hanging out in Buffalo and chasing snow around. There's no snow, and here on the screen he's interviewing gentleman from the New York State Department of Transportation talking about snow plows and bright sunny conditions. And all I could think of was you, Jeff.
Well, it's thanks for bringing that up, Tim, because it at least affirms that one person saw the show, which really, you know, is kind of all the payoff as long as somebody sees it. Cause...
But you didn't tell us it was airing.
Yes. Well, that's what was disappointing, but more than anything. I'm thinking, that's Schnook.
Wow.
Okay.
Cut to the bone. Man.
And then to really top it off, to what really was awful is that I've forgotten that on like History Channel and Discovery Channel and all those, the way they roll credits anymore is they don't cut to commercial and come back with a little tag and then roll the credits.
They're rolling
the tag and the credits. So I glanced down and I didn't see Jeffrey Willard, producer, but I did see, you know, the names Assistant to Mr. Willearth and Gopher for Mr. Willearth and Mr. Willearth Suit by Botany 500 and Mr. Willearth Beer Opened By and all that kind of stuff. So
Tequila Runner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I got to see all the people who lubricated the process for.
Uh, Well, that's just fantastic. Thank you for bringing that up.
Well, so is it going to re-air? I want to catch this thing.
Oh yeah, it's on all the time.
Oh, it was. I mean, it was very good. I truly enjoyed it. I mean, it was informative.
You don't have to kiss my ass anymore.
I mean, it must have come on around the same time because I was watching something this weekend called like The Little Ice Age, but I don't remember seeing anything about The Science of Snow. So I'm a little disappointed here.
It was a Modern Marvels.
It was a Modern Marvels. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, moving on.
Mr. Willis, you're going to have to do a better job of letting us know when these things are on.
Yeah.
If it hadn't been laundry night, I would never have thought it.
That's all right.
I was high on the watching queue.
Well, you know, match the socks, fold the underwear. Hey, it's Jeff's documentary.
I have a couple of announcements, if I may. First thing I want you to know is, as we are recording this, Pat and the team are out in a truck delivering all those presents that we gathered this year for the kids at Penny Lane that she talked about. So on behalf of Pat and Penny Lane, and probably more importantly, all the deserving children who are finally getting a chance to celebrate Christmas in any fashion. I want to thank all the fans who did. I mean, that podcast and her little announcement generated all kinds of great interest, and money started coming in, and presents started coming in, and great things happened. And just bless all of you. You guys totally, totally rock, and it helped make a difference. And I don't know what I can say beyond that. I mean, you guys, you made a difference. So thank you. And I'm thrilled just to have all that crap out of my house right now. So it's great that it's finally in the proper hands where it belongs. But it's been quite a project. No, we had to have a great big truck here today that we loaded. I spent most of the day loading the truck with her. And I have those portable storage units. You know, I had to have the big pod things. Yeah, come. Yeah. So we had one of those out in the driveway so that we could have, because the house was full and we just literally ran out of floor space to keep all this stuff. And so it's a pretty large production, and it'll take hours to get the stuff delivered to all the homes. And anyway, I mean, it's just it's such an awesome thing, and you always feel so great that you know that you made even just a moment's worth of difference to somebody's life. And so thank you again to all of you guys. Okay, now I also have some B5 news. Flash, right? Here you go. Hold on, Mike. Flash.
Ouch, that was painful. Yeah,
I know, that's why I gave you a little heads up there. In trying to negotiate a guest for tonight, I will let you know that I had a great conversation today with our beloved Captain Bruce Boxleitner in hopes of getting him on board to talk to us a little bit about Lost Tales. And where we sit at the moment is Bruce really, really, really wants to tell us all about it because he is just super, super excited. But there's a little bit of caution that we're working. We have been trying to make contact with the right people at Warner Brothers to get their blessings so that we can we're just going through the proper channels. Okay, right. So we couldn't have Bruce join us tonight to talk about the show. Of course, we could have Bruce come on and talk about Scarecrow and Mrs. King, but somehow I didn't find it. That was quite as appropriate. So.
Tron, that's where it's at.
Tron would be worth it. Snakehead Terror might be.
there were many things. There were many things. In fact, it's funny you bring all those up because I also, somebody, with this back to Penny Lane for a second, somehow we acquired a whole giant collection of VHSs.
Really?
All kinds of shows and all kinds of movies. And we had to go through them all because, you know, frankly, we have to make sure that the stuff we give to the kids is appropriate. So you can't really give them a bunch of bad movies and stuff like that. So we had to kind of literally go through title by title and make sure that it was going to be okay to send to them. And I come across this movie that was made in 1985 called Passion Flower with Bruce Boxleitner and Barbara Hershey. And on the cover is like Bruce wearing nothing more than a bath towel, who obviously gets to do the big wiggle with Barbara Hershey, And I started teasing him about it today, and he was telling me what a trip that movie was, and it was like the first American film that had been made in Singapore in 1985 and all this sort of stuff, and it was quite an experience. And he was so bemused by the fact that I even knew about this movie or had a VHS copy in my hand that he said, well, let me go over to the vault here and see what I've got. And he goes into his little secret place where he keeps all his VHS. And he, yep, look at that. I got one right here on the shelf. So when we do get him on board, we're going to have to tease him a little bit about Passion Flower.
Let's see. He's in the bathroom. Oh, you're in the shower curtain.
Yeah, I know. There's Bruce and I have shared a lot of stuff. Don't worry. And most of it was done with condoms, so it's all right.
TMI. Jeff, TMI.
Oh. Wow. Oh. There's okay. Open the universe to watch that out.
So, as I said, I am both Bruce and I are kind of tag-teaming Warner Brothers to get the publicity people. Wait, let me take another drink of beer here. publicity people to try and help us out to make this on the up and up so that we can get, you know, some official word and all that sort of stuff and have him talk because he has just returned from Canada. So with respect to the things that he told me that I can't tell you guys because that would be inappropriate, let me at least summarize by saying that Bruce had an outstanding time. It was just truly a great production experience for him. He loved the idea that he was back in this universe, loved the opportunity to work with Tracy Scoggins, who he says just looks absolutely sensational, and loved the opportunity to work with Peter Woodward again, who is just such an amazing talent. Could not stop saying enough great things about Joe's script and how terrific Joe was about everything about the production, how exciting, what a positive energy there was about everything that was going on. It was a half hour of me just listening to him just go on and on and on and on and on before I got a word in edgewise. I mean, he is just so jazzed about it. And I can tell you, after knowing Bruce for as many years as I have, to hear him that excited about something is really good, because if he's milquetoast about something, he'll let you know, and if he's unhappy, he'll let you know. And right. And it was just a great experience. He said that he has never seen Joe quite so, the right word would be kind of relaxed and comfortable and enjoying the whole experience.
Wow.
You know, that there must have been a whole level of... He was very clear about how the Joe we worked with on Babylon 5 was not the Joe he just got to work with, in terms of just his overall confidence and just the way he... You know, the Joe was just having a great time with it. They were all having a great time with it. And Bruce couldn't stop saying enough wonderful things about Doug Netter and what an amazing man Doug still is at his still young years, but that, you know, Doug just hung right in there with him and was having dinner with him late at night and slamming down cappuccinos, you know, at midnight after a long day of shooting and getting there, and boom, he was on set the next morning ready to rock and still, you know, just right there shoulder to shoulder with everybody else. It speaks volumes about Doug Netter. So that's the buzz from Canada. It has been going great. A super crew. He also, I will tell you that Bruce said that the crew was so enthusiastic, that they were so excited that they were getting to do anything that was B5 and be a part of it, that was just a super, super positive experience, and everything went terrific. And so I'm looking forward to getting the legalese cleared so that we can get Bruce in here to just have him download to us and tell us all about it.
Wow. Yeah, that would be very exciting. Oh, that's good. That's really good news. That's
yeah.
If everybody's on, well, I mean, that's the thing I think we're learning through the guests that you've brought on, Jeffrey, and some of the stories that you've told us, is that it was such a special cast and crew that everybody was working on the same page. They were all going the same direction. that's part of what made the magic, and it sounds like they're capturing that lightning in the bottle again. So
yeah, which is so important to get it across, so that you don't that comes across. You can see that sort of stuff on the screen. So,
and I think Babylon 5 fans are much more discerning is not quite the right word, but I think B5 fans know when it's on and when it's off. And they won't settle for second best. I mean, they're not going to take anything just because it says B5 on the label. You know, they want it to be the same level of quality that we had been given over those 5 years.
Yeah, but in fairness, don't you think that's exactly what Joe wants, and that's what Joe gives them, and so subsequently, that's what they've come to expect.
I mean,
yeah, exactly. I mean, Joe,
it,
Joe's the last person to cut a corner. You know, no
right.
way. So
right, exactly.
So anyway, it was really encouraging. It was great to get that kind of feedback and input, and we'll make that happen as soon as we can. Okay, so that's my rant.
Okay, that's great. We have
yeah, sure.
No. I do. It's I'm just
yeah, whatever, Jeff.
Bookie on you. Yeah, move on.
No. I don't know where to start with this. It was like I want to talk so much more about the Lost Tales, but we don't have any fresh meat to dig into.
Yeah,
and
we are
frustrating.
Our line, as it were, Star Furies has not sent us anything new, and and I imagine with the fact that principal photography has wrapped, that there's not going to be a lot coming out of. I mean, at this point, what Jeffrey, it's all going to be post production and that kind of stuff, and you know, 20 guys in a render farm doing models and whatever else.
Oh, I don't know if that's necessarily true. Joe's the master at manipulating the audience and teasing them and warming them up to things, so I would fully expect that Joe will finish off a certain little segment and, oops, it'll suddenly appear on the internet for us to all gawk at and go, oh, we want more. So
we'll actually get, like, previews, like, hey, this is a new ship I've come up with for this. Hey, this is a new alien.
I shouldn't speak to that because I heard some things today that it wouldn't be appropriate for me to talk about right now.
Fair enough. I mean, it is, you know, it is on record that from JMS himself that they are, you know, using the latest technology or doing things with the models and the ships that they weren't able to do back in, you know, the production of the original show. So it should be fairly spectacular to see one way or the other.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, good grief, that was a lifetime ago that we were using, you know, what was sure cutting edge then, but, you know, could barely operate a Microsoft Word program right now. Actually, the latest technology can't work Microsoft Word, so who am I kidding? You know, that was a bad example. But
well, I didn't want to turn this into a religious flame war, but since you brought it up.
No Mac versus Windows here. Stop.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, we have, what do we have coming up? We have an interesting little discussion chat with Robin Atkin Downs. how would you describe that? Was that just a discussion, or is that just a peek
it
into someone's soul?
It was a moment in time.
Okay. It was a memorable moment in time, and
exactly.
We'll be coming back to that historical interlude into someone's mental processes right after that.
This is Bob. Before, Bob relied on the internet to enhance his geek status. After using Technorama for natural geek enhancement, Bob is rolling his 20-sided die, reciting Holy Grail lines, and answering Star Trek trivia with the best of them. And he has a happy missus at the home, too. Technorama for natural geek enhancement. Only available at chuckchat.com.
Hello?
Hey, it's Jeffrey.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, man.
How are you?
My day is crazy. You have the studio, so we have to,
We have to do it today, huh?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, is that a problem now?
No, it's just been a crazy day. Just energy-wise.
Do you want us to call back in a little bit?
Yeah. But what's the deal? Did you rent out? So you have the studio rented out? So.
No, no. We're actually recording right now, but we can cut all this out.
Screw everyone! I hate life. My life is a mess. I used to play Byron, and now I'm a bum. I have no life.
Tim and Summer, I'd like you to meet Robin Atkins now. Robin,
there
this is
go.
Tim and Summer on the Babylon Podcast.
Jeffrey Willis still doesn't know my name. It's not
why? Where did I say?
Atkins Downs. It's Atkins Downs. But it doesn't matter because I live in a public storage facility in Van Nuys. And I no longer have an English accent because it was fake to begin with.
And that's interesting. We had Claudia Christian on 2 weeks ago, and she was speaking with a British accent and said that her American accent was fake.
Oh my God! Hey, that's Lita on the other line. She's hold on 1 sec.
Just to show you, we don't fake any of this stuff. You know?
Hello.
Hi.
Wow.
Okay, so the truth of the Earth planetary universe is Lita just picked me up from my storage facility where I live, and it's driving me to an Italian restaurant. Some kind of sick joke for the telepaths. What?
Towards
that galaxy.
So here you are driving around with Lita now? Is that what we're listening to?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But because of her telepathic powers, she's actually able to lift us off the ground and go at 300 miles an hour. But I'm currently wearing a cardboard box because that's all I had to wear for my storage facility. I just feel it.
Is it a nice facility?
Look, the truth is, my day was crazy. And I hate life right now. But it's only for a mere moment because basically everything in life is going great. But I just, you know, it's just one of those moments.
Oh,
dang. Yeah, I'll put you over to...
maybe you should do this while I get a... Okay, I got to figure out where I am.
Okay.
It's an unfamiliar galaxy, so I am trying to negotiate. And these spaceships drive way too close! Idiots. God. Unbelievable. Which way am I going?
Right.
Make a right anywhere? Make a right here?
Hard.
I'm just making a right. I'm making a right. Any galaxy. Yes. Go anywhere.
Make a right at the next dwarf star.
Here, how about if I park? Can I park here? It says no parking any other times. Read that. Do I have to have a permit?
We're sitting in the car.
Oh, Jesus. Unbelievable.
So at the end of your galactic dinner tonight, will you be returning Byron back to his storage shelter, or are
I think I'm just no. I'm going to have him sucked out an airlock. It depends on how it goes. You know, depends on how irritated I am by the end of the evening.
It sounds like you're both pretty irritated right now. There's a dinner party. I'm not sorry. I'm missing right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Los Angeles traffic, and it's been a long day.
I think maybe we should call Stephen. We'll call Stephen first back because he was really in a good mood.
Yeah. Call somebody who's happy. All right, thank you so much, you guys. Thanks for your help.
You're very, very welcome.
Here, hang on. He wants to complain to Marvel.
Yeah, hello.
So what's going on there, Robin? Somebody give you a wedgie today? You're not feeling good about it all?
No. You know, it's just life. I think everybody can relate. It's just been one of those days. A lot of stuff going on.
Okay.
Did I tell them about what? Okay, I'm supposed to tell you about all the stuff I'm doing.
Okay, tell us about the stuff.
Do out of my public storage facility. What? See, in my public storage facility, I have this amazing studio where I do all this voiceover work for games and all that stuff. And I built a website out of there, and it's called robinackendowns.com. So if you want to see all the wacky things I've been up to, you can go to the site and listen in. I'm still doing some on-camera stuff. And something exciting, hopefully coming up in March, I'm hoping to be directing a film that was written by my wife called Posing as Bardot. And we've got a lot of top-name celebrities in L.A. That we pitched out to, and a lot of them have signed up to be on the project, so that's a good thing. And then in the meantime, what else? I don't know. I'm doing a lot of voiceover. I'm working on all the new games for Xbox 360 and PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3. PlayStation 2 has been out for a while.
Yeah.
And what else?
You're building your studio.
Building my studio. Now I'm building a studio because I'm doing promos and trailers for
in a world.
Another company.
Come on, give us a little bit of that. In the city.
I don't know.
Next on the E! True Hollywood Story.
Whatever. You name it. So go to my website and check out all that stuff. And I need a drink. It's too early. That's the problem with winter. It gets dark and you feel like it's time for a drink, but it's really 5:30, so. It's 6:30, okay. I think that's good.
Oh, so you're past due then.
It's dark, okay?
So if I was a paparazzi in Hollywood right now, where would I go to see Byron and Lita schmoozing?
We are on the roof of the Beverly Center.
Really?
Helicopters. Yeah.
Nice.
So that's where the only place we could land a spaceship. I think you guys have been drinking. You're laughing way too much.
No, we're
not that funny.
We're easily amused.
I've had a week similar to your day, I think.
Long day for you.
So I can use the. Well, you know, I'm gonna be a straw that stirs the drink here, and take you back to Babylon 5 and the infamous scene where Byron and Lita do the nasty, and she has in the midst of. Having fun,
wait,
realizes that she's been engineered by the Borla.
Scene where Byron and Lita do the nasty. Oh, God. I don't think it was. I don't know.
And what I want to know is, was Jeffrey on the set for that?
No, they wouldn't.
Jeffrey tried to stop production a few times by sending other producers onto the set. In fact, every producer that was working on any production in L.A. came onto the set that day. And at one point, I think Jeffrey had a really big diva session and said he was going to quit the show and all this stuff. And that we were actually down on the set for a couple of hours until he was calmed down and we got some massage leaves. And actually, Jakar massaged him that day and hit his neck, Narn style. And then he finally... He finally relaxed and went back to his cubicle. And I don't know where I'm going with it.
that certainly isn't the way I remember it. There was the Lita gangbang, and it all kind of blurred out after that.
That is just wrong.
Oh, man. Well, I have to comment that some of our listeners absolutely loved you in Destroy All Humans.
Oh, Destroy All Humans.
Yeah.
I think I played, who did I play in that? Orange Charles, a Russian guy?
They're like, I loved him in that game. He was so funny.
Yeah, a lot of people don't. I was the Prince of Persia in The Warrior Within.
Mm.
Oh. Prophet of Regret and Halo. And actually, there's a great game that just came out called Gears of War, where I play this old man character that farts all the time. So I'm really taking advantage of my talents. Oh, excuse me. There's a reason I got hired for that role. Oh, sorry. And there's a couple of cool games coming out in the fall that I can't talk about, so come to my website and you'll see what they are.
Right.
Why am I saying this? Oh, my God. I'm still trying to navigate. Not fair. He was also in Steam Boy. You guys, that was a very popular anime film. It was awesome.
Yeah.
We went to the premiere of it to hear him, and they only had the Japanese print, so we had to watch the whole thing in Japanese, which was funny. Oh! God, I have to go on the block again. Oh, God. We're never going to get there. What else? What else?
I don't know.
Oh.
What else? You talked about your talent to go?
Nobody wants to know about that.
What did you do? You just worked on something.
I just worked on something?
Yeah.
I don't know. Your phone's beeping. It's doing something.
Oh, it's John Curry on the other line of the Irish clan. Are you guys still there?
Yeah.
Hanging on every word.
That's just... You know, this whole podcast is going to be you two laughing.
Well, there's a please note the difference between laughing with you and laughing at you.
And then it will be the cell phone continuously breaking up.
You also told us, you told me the other night that you did a CSI recently, and that was kind of a weird experience.
Which one?
CSI.
Oh, CSI, that's right, I was just on CSI Miami the other week with, I don't know how much I can talk about that night. But, yeah, I got to work with David Caruso, and he was, I've got to say, the guy was totally cool, very funny. Smart guy and said a lot of funny things that I can't repeat.
It was funny.
No, he was a great guy. You know what I really loved was after we'd complete a take or an angle, whatever, they have valet right here. Whatever you want to call it, he would say, okay, that was perfect. All right, let's move on. You know, we were all hit fists, like everything was cool. Yeah, that was fun. I mean, I could plug a whole bunch of other stuff, but it's all... I don't know if the fans know about imdb.com, but you can look up... Pat and I. You go to imdb.com, and if you want to pay $15 a month, you can go to IMDb Pro. And it's like a new thing in L.A. Like, everybody judges themselves by their rating on IMDb. Like, Pat's actually... She's pretty good. She's in the 2000s, and I know.
No, I'm in 4. I think I'm in
2. No, you were in 4.
Yeah.
I hit 3,300. No, she's always higher than me. You can look at a graph, and you can. It's really addicting once you get in there because you click into an actor, and then you can see all the projects they work on, and then you click into the projects, and then you see who else worked on those projects, and it's a never ending.
Can they click on us and make us more stars?
Yeah, so, click on us. But the best way to get number one is to die.
Yeah, that's
how Anna Nicole started. Yeah, that's true. That's not nice. But
so dying gets you a higher ranking than rehab, huh?
Yeah, dying will get you a higher rating, or, you know, if you're starring in a film called Borat, that will get you a number one right now. Which I haven't seen yet, but
I haven't either, but it sounds funny.
So IMDb's great.
I'm thinking that this living in a storage unit is pretty exciting. That's kind of a whole new spin nobody's tried before.
It's pretty
cool. You might
score
well there. Yeah.
Yeah, I have the run of the place. And there are many uses for that you can do with cardboard boxes. There's lots of things you can do there. But luckily, Pat let me escape from my hell for just a couple of hours, and I'll try to enjoy it.
Well, so, Robin, I was going to ask you how it was for you to join the cast of Babylon 5 at the fifth year and getting in with a group of people who'd been working together for 4 or 5 years. But
going to Babylon 5 questions.
I think
we're
done.
And it's, that's it. We're done. She's at, she's using a mind meld on me. I have turned into a killing god.
Wrong show.
Wrong show.
They have Babylon 5 questions for you?
Why don't we, next week, tune in to find out the answers to the questions. I don't know. That's right. If you tune in next week, you'll hear Byron and Robin. No. Talk about. Okay. This is really bad. I need a drink. I'm sorry. I can't talk about it. Can we do another podcast and talk about?
Absolutely.
I doubt it. And next time we'll be all by Babylon questions. Well, you can pick it up later. When does this air? What is this going on?
I have no idea.
I'm thinking 2009 might be safe right now.
Yeah, I think it's going to take you about, it'll take you probably a decade to edit it.
Do me any good.
No, I think that's right. We'll you need it up soon. So.
We'll put a link to it on IMDb. I'm sure that'll help you out.
All right, you know what? I'm going to ply him with liquor, and I think he'll answer some questions. Would that be good?
That would be
good. I mean, you can edit this, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure if there's any savings at this point.
Nope.
Oh, boy. Well, no, I mean, we just have to get him a drink, and I think that would help a lot.
Okay.
You just want to, I'm sorry, but it's just the truth. Okay. So he's going to order himself a drink, and then we'll... Do you have questions for him?
No, we're going to let you guys go have fun.
We'll catch him another time, I think.
We'll try this again some other galaxy.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot, you guys.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Take your Gmail account to the next level with the Gmail Podcast. The Gmail Podcast will make you more proficient and teach you features about Gmail you may not have known. In just a few minutes, you'll learn tips and tricks that'll help you stay organized using Gmail. If you don't yet have a Gmail account, log on right now to chuckchat.com and let us know. We'll be happy to send you an invite. Get the most out of your Gmail account with the Gmail Podcast, available at chuckchat.com. You've got Gmail.
Hi, this is Julie Caitlin Brown, the top of Babylon 5, and you're listening to the Babylon 5 podcast.
And we're back. Yeah.
I have two words.
Mm-hmm.
Shock and awe.
You know, I'm doing this forever. I have been, and look at what my career's come to. I do a show about snow. I do an interview with Robin, which isn't really an interview at all. That wasn't even English, I don't think. That was... What the hell just happened there?
Well, you tell me.
I'm not necessarily sure they should have been driving around L.A. anywhere, but that's just me.
Well, no, I agree. And probably the upside was that at least we know... The whole time they were like, we need to get a drink. We need to go. They obviously hadn't already been drinking.
It's true. I'm just glad they live in L.A. and not in Phoenix.
Oh, man. But you know what? That just shows we all have our days, right?
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
We all have our days, and we just happened to stop in on one of Robin's.
So one of two things will happen, though, Jeffrey. Either... Robin will want to come back on and say, geez, guys, I'm really sorry. Let's do something where I'm a little more coherent. Or you're going to find your dog boiling in a pot on your stove.
No, no, I think there's a third option here, Tim, and that is because I've sort of seen the things that are happening on YouTube and in the internet and all the latest stuff. He's probably, this is going to turn out to be a whole new series. He's going to turn out to be a huge star. Mark Burnett's going to hear this podcast and go, I love it. Let's get him a new series for himself. Let's give him $100 million.
It's going to be Driving Mr. Robin.
There you go. I like it. Right. When good Robins go bad, next on Fox.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, please, could we add a little sanity? Is there anything normal? Do we have, like, any normal fans that actually sent us a voicemail or anything like that?
Well, we've got fans who sent us a voicemail.
We have something from Yarstow. Will that cheer you up?
Oh, shock and amazement. Yarstow contributed. Yes, let's go to the Yarstow segment of our show. A regular staple, a feature. Our reason for being here, please.
It's Yarstow's show. We just show up in it.
That's right.
This is Yarstow from the Netherlands. Since there seems to be a consensus that I sound too good in my last few voicemails, I'm recording this voicemail on location. So, I've journeyed to the edge of the city of Groningen, where I live, and I now have open fields to the left of me, and a moderately busy motorway right in front of me. Here, I'll get you the motorway by itself for a while. By the way, I've taken your comments on my recording quality as a sign that you're afraid that my recording quality, which quite frankly is better than Tim's sounds, is carrying off other voicemailers, and we obviously don't want that to happen. Now, secondly, Tim, you noticed that I said that as a rule I try to stay beneath 90 seconds in a voicemail that was in fact 99 seconds. That's what as a rule means, not this time. I thought everyone knew that. Finally, I enjoyed the interview with Kim Holly, though looking back, I would have liked to hear a question about Galen's tight leather pants in Crusade. And the reason I comment on this is because one of the Crusade episodes has a comments track on the DVD, which, well, I won't say half of it is about these leather pants, but substantial portions of it are.
Okay, that's it. Yarstow gets his own show.
Unbelievable. We have reduced ourselves to doing Yarstow travelogues now.
Yarstow, I just have one thing to say. It's my show. I can call anybody out as I see fit. Rules or no rules. Okay?
So, I don't know. I think that could be contested there, Tim. I think Yarstow is slowly inching up on this show.
No, yeah, whatever. Fine. He can handle all the emails. Then I'll give him the password. He can.
You know, you can. This is actually the first Babylon podcast that isn't about Babylon 5 at all.
At all, really.
There's no B5 content actually, in this show at all.
At the very beginning, we avoided Babylon 5 content, if you recall exactly what Jeffrey said.
That's right.
Okay, well.
Wow. I'm thinking that next time he sends in a podcast, there might be a scratch on it so that we can't play it.
Okay, let's see. Is anything here about Babylon 5?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Hi, guys. This is Gary from Jacksonville. Hi, Tim, Summer, and, of course, the exalted Jeffrey. I was just listening to show 44, and I wanted to comment on one thing about Lieutenant Keffer. Keep in mind that JMS never liked this character, and it was one of the few items that were forced upon him by the studio. I have a feeling that whatever notes he gave DC Fontana to plot this story were reflecting the fact that he did want to set something up to kill off Lieutenant Keffer as soon as humanly possible. unfortunately, for I guess for studio purposes, he did have to keep him on for the remainder of the season until he was finally able to have him killed off. That's my tidbit for this. Thanks again, guys. You guys are doing a fantastic job, and I'm so happy I found this podcast. Tim, Summer, Jeffrey, you guys keep it all up. You are fantastic. Thanks. Bye.
Well, that ends with this episode.
Hi. Right. Thanks, Gary.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. I was feeling good about myself.
What was that?
Okay. Newsflash. They're Babylon 5 content in the Babylon podcast.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. No, we had mentioned that before, hadn't we?
Yes, we had. We had. And actually, we got quite a number of emails as well that all came to that same point. Basically, that JMS didn't want the guy. It was forced on him by the studios. And
where did you guys hear that from? I have no recollection of that.
JMS himself, actually, in the script book, Volume 3, where the script for... the script doesn't appear because it's DC Fontana, but the Volume 3 starts with the first handful of scripts from the beginning of Year 2, and in his preface, JMS talks about the changes that occurred on the show as the second year got kicked off, and of course the addition of Keffer was one of them. And so he, you know, made comment that he really didn't want them on, but it was stipulated by the studios that they wanted this rugged, handsome type that would appeal to the female demographic, and what they felt was appropriate for a science fiction show. And of course, you know, JMS, I'm paraphrasing here, you know, realized that he kind of had to make that concession in order to keep the show going. I think it was also, if I remember right now, that the other thing that was going on at the same time was choosing the new commanding officer. And one of JMS's choice was actually Michael York. And that was shot down eventually because the studios felt like, well, there's this other science fiction show that has a British commander. And we can't have two shows on the air that have British commanders. What are the American viewers going to think? So my guess is at that point is part of what was bringing Boxleitner on as JMS's choice was also, you know, maybe giving in a little bit on the Keffer character. But as everybody's noted, he had every intention of doing something hideously nasty to the guy when the time came up. But having said that, you know, it was not gratuitous. That's another, let's at least tip of the hat to JMS. As much as he detested having this particular cliche, if you will, foisted upon him, and really, Keffer's characters never really developed beyond sort of a two-dimensional thing. The fact is, it does become an integral plot point. And as we know at the end of season 2, where Keffer is killed off, and there's the gun camera footage that then comes around at the beginning of season 3,
mm-hmm.
with Mr. Mdawi coming to the station looking for answers, and of course the cabal back on Earth saying, well, you know what, we could probably use this to our advantage to accelerate the program at home. You know, it's not a gratuitous thing. It actually works very well in the fabric of the story.
Yeah, and you have to actually give him, you know, serious props for taking a character he didn't want to have around, working him into the crew, into the station life, giving him a personal mission because of what happened in that episode, A Distant Star, and making that personal for him, and making his, you know, resultant smashing a consequence of his decisions throughout the entire season.
Yeah.
Tim.
Yes.
I love you, dude, and it's a pleasure to work with you every single week.
Now who's kissing up to whom? Go ahead.
You are such a buzzkill. You had a great show going here and you had to just geek off. The best part about the phone call from the viewer was that he was from Jacksonville. And he was kissing our ass.
Oh,
Love you, mean it, don't ever change, okay?
Okay, Jeffrey, for what it's worth, I'll just say, I'm glad I was at the front of that list, okay?
Wow. I don't know. Is there any more time? Is there any more time for another listener now?
Yes, we do.
One more.
Oh, wait. Let me get these needles out of my eyes quickly here.
Hi, this is Doug in Illinois, and I'm calling in reference to podcast 44, talking about a distant star. And the first thing that we have to shed a little light on is the Cortez is going into the rim, and the shadow vessel, the one shadow vessel that we see that seems to be following the Cortez is what we run into. I'm thinking shadow vessel, they're out there and checking out the rim and exploring the rim and explorer class ship. The shadows have a shadow vessel shadowing the Cortez. That's pretty much, we just have to buy that. I'm not going to sign off because I would like to think that I'm one of the good guys.
You see?
Oh, you're that kid in the sandbox I never could really play with, you know?
I found the same thing, you know? All right, well, should I buzzkill this one too?
No. We have a tiny, tiny bit of B5 joy just waiting to be played here.
Okay.
Which one are you talking
that
about?
That one. That one right there.
This one?
Yes.
Okay, well.
Negotiations. New responsibilities. Boom shabalaba.
Okay.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
See? Boom shabala.
There you go, Tim. Boom, comment on that one.
Yet another one of Hillary's fabulous haikus. Nothing more need be said. That one pretty much stands on its own. And you know what? It works. It's 575.
It's all good stuff.
Boom shabala. Wow.
I don't think you've seen that episode yet, have you?
No, I have not seen that episode. Oh. I'm about halfway through season 3 right now, so.
No, that's a season 2.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Oh, really?
It is.
Yeah, Acts of Sacrifice.
Yes. You
oh,
okay,
come
you,
on.
Oh, he's okay. Forgotten. How can you forget this? Wow.
How can you forget that?
You can't forget this.
That human style?
Okay.
Sure? Yeah. Okay. Oh, Jeff.
Mike. Well, I will re-educate him when we're done here.
Yeah, you're going to have to.
Oh, I probably remember it. It's just I don't know every single detail. I haven't watched them 5 times. This is my first time through. No. Jay, give me a break. I didn't realize I didn't take notes.
Okay, children, here you go. Here is the peril of trying to cram 24 episodes into a weekend.
Weekend? One day?
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about. After a point, it does start to kind of run together, and I'm sure your eyes were starting to cross at some point.
I drained the drool bucket.
That's what I'm talking about, because that if there was an advantage to having to have to search it out every year, every week, those things were very memorable, because you played it back over when you recorded it on VHS or whatever, and you played it back over and over. This is the infamous Ivanova sex scene, yes.
Oh! That one.
Yeah.
Okay, now I got it. Now
I remember. You roll over and go to sleep. New style, you say you're going to call me and go out for pizza and I never see you again.
Next time we do it my way.
You.
Yeah, got it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He remembers.
I remember.
Yeah,
I
now you remember.
Now I remember.
Yeah.
Boom shabalala. Come on.
Gotcha. I'm there.
We have shined light on his brain and he is
that
happy.
That was cute, yes.
And I can't wait to discuss that episode.
That'll be fun. That'll be fun. Yeah. All righty. I think we're done for tonight.
I'm not sure. It's kind of embarrassing. What is this, like episode 47, 46, something like that?
46.
Yeah. Something like that.
It's just tragic that we haven't gotten better. That whole thing about practice makes perfect bullshit. Doesn't mean anything.
To be said for consistency.
Yeah. I don't know. Shows are all about personality, and boy, we had plenty of personality this weekend.
Very special episode. Yes, talk about a lost tale. Holy
cow. Oh, man. Well, if anyone out there listening to this show
wants to continue listening
to the show and add their own comments, you can send an email to babylonpodcast@gmail.com or give us a voicemail by calling 206-338-2259. That's 206-338-2259.
The year the Great War came upon us all.
And we'll see you next time on the other side of the joke.